T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
5 in the secondary for the Falcons. 4 on the defensive line. Hands on the turf. They'll come charging. There's the shotgun snap to Brady. Line drive, throw, goal line, diving, catch, belt high, touchdown, Amendola!
Caught, touchdown, Julian Edelman.
Throwing to the end zone. Has his man open, touchdown, Fourier.
Here they come after Brady. Goes down the field to Gronk. Turns around, makes the catch.
Steps up into the pocket, starts to run with it. Avoids one man. Dives for a first down. Guess who he avoided? Urlacher. What a move by Brady.
Brady looking to throw it. Touchdown, Mike Vrabel. Brady still has it and throws to the end zone for the touchdown. Fourier, second of the day.
Brady to Christian, you Fourier.
Look at this. Yay. How could this not motivate you? This is what it's all about.
Getting a little jacked right now.
Guys,
pretty fired up.
Guy's pretty good, isn't he?
Who, me?
Talking about you. No, I'm talking about Brady.
Oh,
Brady's pretty good. Unbelievable.
And how about
you throwing in the Vrabel touchdown? I mean, seriously?
Well, I want to get to that with Brady. Tom Brady has nicely called in to support his old teammate here as we raise some money for the American Diabetes Association. And so he's on the line right now. Tom, how you doing? Thank you for calling in.
Hi, guys. My pleasure. Proud of the great work you guys are doing. So happy to call in and support you guys.
I'm going to give you some inside stuff with your buddy over here. He does love you. He says wonderful things about you. The only thing he's ever said about you that was really negative, he always says, why didn't he throw Vrabel out of the huddle? We heard that a few times. Is that okay?
Why did I do that?
Why
didn't I throw him out of the huddle?
Yes.
No. At that point, we put so many defensive guys in offensive positions over the years. So, you know me, I don't get much say in those types of things.
You know, it used to drive me crazy. We've had Vrabel on. I've talked to him off air, too. What always drove me crazy is we were sitting there in the huddle, and sure enough, here comes Vrabel with that, you know, cat that ate the canary grin on his face, just knowing that he was upsetting the apple cart and just loving himself for doing it.
I know. He loved it. And I know it was funny. We practiced against the Texans at the Greenbrier. This was probably like 3 years ago. He was coaching for the Texans at the time. And we had a low red area pass period. And he ran over and toward the offensive huddle and kind of brisked the front of his jersey. And he said, 50 reporting. And it brought back a lot of funny memories. So he was pretty productive down there. I mean, what he did was pretty impressive. But
they
were too busy double covering Christian.
There
and then
you go.
Graves got a lot of free touchdowns.
Oh, he's smiling now. Look at this. he's got that grin.
Oh, I'm blushing.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, I don't know if you know this or not, right? But Vinny Testaverde and Christian actually currently hold the record for the oldest combined age for a touchdown thrown. Now, he's been sweating all year when you guys signed Ben Watson, because the minute you throw a touchdown to him, that breaks his record. And he's trying to hold on to this record. So he's a friend of mine, but I wouldn't mind seeing you throw a pass to Ben Watson breaking that record. Could you do that for me?
I didn't know that. So what's the combined age of Vinny and Christian?
It's like 80 years and so many days.
Well, Vinny was like 45 or something that. And I was 37 or something.
Yeah.
Really? Well, I'm happy I'm in the position to be able to do it. So if I do it, I will know I'm in great company.
You have enough records. Okay, can we just, like, it's the one thing that I have that I, you know, kids, hey, boys, I do have that record still. It's still sitting up there in the record book somewhere. You know?
80 years, 104 days.
The longevity ones are pretty cool, though. So yeah. I don't know. If I'm going to take one down, it might be this one.
Yeah.
This one might feel the best. I don't know yet.
All right, so talking about longevity, are you sick and tired of answering the question about how long you're going to play?
I think it's just a natural question. I mean, you know, for most athletes that are getting older, it's just it's not going to last forever. So at some point it comes to an end, and everyone wants to be the first one to predict it. So, you know, I feel like I'm just being honest with myself that, you know, I'm just going to do the best I can do. And, you know, I feel like everything at this point is just gravy. The fact that I get to go out and play professional football at 42 is pretty cool. And, you know, I still love doing it, and I still love the competition. So I don't know when that will ever leave. I don't know if it will ever leave. I don't know what factors will contribute, but just I'm trying to be in the moment. And, you know, if you think about football, too, it's a contact sport. It's not basketball. It's not baseball. I mean, really, it's any game could be your last game. And, you know, I think it's good to have that perspective, too.
You know, we always wonder, you've accomplished everything. I mean, so much, titles, you name it, awards. And we do wonder, like, the motivation. Is it more motivating to try to win that next championship, or is there that age? You always talk about 45. Is it motivating to play to 45 or to kind of win that next championship?
Well, I think I've always said 45 just because that was, you know, that's a good goal to set. Because that was, you know, that's one that's been pretty hard to get to for most guys. So I think you have to have goals. You have, you know, daily goals, you have yearly goals, and you have long-term goals. So I think for me, it's really just the love of football, you know, and I don't know when or if I'll ever not love it. And that's the thing. It's just, I don't know. I think there's some people that are, you know, maybe great guitarists. There's great chefs. There's great lawyers. There's great artists, actors, you know, you name it. I mean, and I think that, you know, if you really love it, I don't know, why should you stop? You just love it. It's just, I don't know what to or how to explain it other than I love doing it.
Yeah.
And that's enough for me.
We're talking to Tom Brady, and usually guys that play late in their careers, they love it. And obviously, if they get hurt, and you just brought that up, obviously your career ends. But the thing that surprises me, because I've seen so many athletes, late 30s, early, up to, well, maybe not into the 40s, who look at it much differently. It's a generational thing, Tom. You're dealing with players right now that could be your sons, and you're traveling, you're around them every single day. How do you do that? How are you dealing with that part of it?
But that part, I think, is fun for me. So I don't think that's I think that's an enjoyable part for me, is to, even guys who are, I would say, would be older players in the league but are still a lot younger than me, like Julian or you know, a guy like Gronk who I played with, or, you know, guys that have been extremely productive but are still, you know, trying to achieve in their career. So I feel like I can help them a lot too. And I feel like I have a lot of knowledge and experience. You know, and a lot of guys ask me about that experience and about that knowledge. And I think it's up to me to, you know, provide them with answers that have worked for me. And obviously being a part of an organization like the Patriots, you know, 20 years of experience here, you know, that's pretty unmatched. And then to be able to pass that on to guys that are trying to be the best they can be in their young career. So I enjoy that leadership aspect. I really enjoy being able to, you know, talk to guys about, you know, things they can do to improve themselves, their games, you know, so that they can reach their highest potential. Because, I mean, I feel like I connect so well with football players. You know, it's like, those are the guys that have been around for the last, you know, 29 years of my life. And if I can help them, because a lot of guys helped me. There was a lot of guys older than me, like, you know, Christian. I mean, he was great, a great player, great teammate, you know, just loved being in the huddle with him. And what he brought when I was a younger player, his experience, his charisma, playmaking ability, I mean, all those things were, you know, were just great things that he brought to our team. So I still try to do the same in my part today.
Herm Edwards was on actually yesterday with the Hillman in the morning, and he was talking about N'Keal Harry last year and what he brings. And a lot of fans here kind of, he's still a mystery to us. We haven't really seen him all that much yet. And you know, Boston, I don't know if you knew this or not, but we read into things too much, whether it's eyeballs on Twitter or who people are following. And I'll blame Glenn because he started sports radio in this town.
Stop it. Jeez.
But
always
we hear
get blamed.
You or Bill talk about N'Keal, and maybe you just haven't seen enough of him either. And is it unfair for us to look at it and say, oh, man, they're really short with him. The compliments aren't there. Is it bad to read into it and say, maybe they don't like what they're seeing?
No, I think with our team, I think it's what I think we've done over years is not project, you know, expectations for people that put them in an unfair position that people are expecting things that, you know, are not in my control. I mean, if you want to ask someone like Nikhil how he feels he's doing, you should ask him. But to ask me and then put unfair expectations on a younger player, I mean, I don't think that's helpful at all. So it's really up to each individual player, not just Nikhil, because I like Nikhil a lot. You know, but everybody's role is earned. And I think that's been the mark of the Patriots, and that's part of the culture is, you know, you got to go out there and you got to earn a spot and you earn a role. And you do that by, through practice, earning the trust of your teammates and your coaches that you can be counted on, you know, when the moments are their biggest. And, you know, it's unfortunately for Nikhil, he got hurt early in training camp. So it just, he didn't have the development, you know, for when other guys were practicing for over 2 months. So, but he's working hard. He's extremely, you know, hardworking. He wants to do it. He's got a great edge about him. I really love that. I really love his tenacity, and he's learning every day and he's working hard to get better. And I think that's all you can ask of a younger player.
Yeah, and a lot's been made of this offense over the years. And, you know, older players come in, they can't quite figure it out. At least that's what we think. Younger players come in, and it's hard for them to kind of assimilate into the offense and figure it out. But, you know, from my point of view, you know, all these teams, they all run the same plays. They all run the same route combinations, a post to post. What's the difference between a post for, you know, Baltimore or a post for you? So it was a difficult part of this offense, the fact that not that it's just a post, but it's the way you want these guys to run the post route.
Yeah, I think it's two words to me. It's trust and dependability. And I think when I think of trust and dependability, I don't think of that as being on a team where you're 8-8. I think trust and dependability on a level of a championship level team. You know, I think there's a lot of players that, you know, it might be okay to be 8-8, and they've been involved in teams that are 8-8 or less than that, 4-12 or 2-14, and they can make some plays. But it's one thing to make plays on a team that's 2-14. It's another to do it with consistency on a team that's 14-2. And I think, you know, our teams have been typically, you know, competing for our division, competing for the conference championship, and then beyond that. And I think we require a very, very high level of consistency and dependability. And if you don't bring that, then I think other people can fill those roles. So it's not a knock on any players. It's really a credit to the guys that, you know, have been able to, you know, look at the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, you know, who's in the game, you know, and that's who the team trusts the most. You know, if you think back to our Seattle game, if you think back to our game against Atlanta, if you think back to the Eagles game, if you think back to the Rams game, who was on the field? And that's who everyone felt in the biggest moment gave our team the best chance to win.
So, Tom, I know you're on the mornings with Greg Hill, and you guys seem to have an awful lot of fun every single Monday
morning.
We're
so envious.
Yeah. Later in the day, we get to interview Bill.
Are you glad you guys not having fun?
Well, we talked to Bill.
I was saying later in the day, we get to talk to Bill. And I was looking for some advice. You know, Christian played for him. Glenn's been friends with him for a while. I'm struggling a little bit. Is there any advice in just sort of having fun with Bill?
Tommy hates, Bill hates him.
No, he
hates Lou.
No,
he hates
a good relationship.
I think he hates us both at times.
Lou. I'm sorry, Lou. It's okay. I don't think it's anything personal. So I feel like he's very consistent and focused. So getting him on a Monday afternoon when he's thinking about our next opponent is probably not the best time to, you know.
So wait, when's a good time?
Wait, yeah. What,
give us a good day.
Tuesday?
Time.
What do you think?
Tuesday?
I would say off seasons are probably typically.
So we should do Patriot better. Mondays during the off season.
I like that.
Okay, I'm good. Well, Tom.
It might work. It'll definitely be, he'll definitely open up a little bit more. But he's competitive, and I think he doesn't want to give away any. You know, he doesn't want to give away any information that's going to help the other team. So I appreciate that about him.
So we got a pretty cool thing going on today. We talked to Larry Bird earlier this morning. He came on first. You're on now. Bobby Orr is coming on tomorrow. Lou is working on David Ortiz.
God,
he's
so
promised
much
David Ortiz.
So much pressure.
I'm not sure if he can pull it off or not. But we know we talked to Larry Bird, and I asked him if he had ever met you before, and he said no. And I don't know, I guess all superstars in Boston should like hang out in some bar swapping stories, but you've never met Larry Bird, have you?
No, I wish I have, because I've been a big fan of his, and you know, being here for 20 years, I've heard a lot of Larry Bird stories. So he's, that guy was a stud, man. He was everything you'd want in a teammate, the ultimate competitor, clutch, you know, wanted the toughest assignments. And, you know, against Magic, and they had some great games. But I love Larry. I'm a big fan of his, and he's accomplished a lot more beyond just a player. And I think that's a cool thing as well.
Think about this. He a three-time MVP, okay, numerous times, couple times NBA Finals MVP, obviously Hall of Famer, okay, Coach of the Year and Executive of the Year. I mean, talk about a couple. That's quite a bit.
Well, I think it probably speaks to, you know, how capable he is, and what I think if you look at his basketball intelligence, you know, how capable he actually was.
He was raving about you. He was raving about you when he was comparing his matchup with Magic Johnson. We were with him, with you and Peyton Manning. We got to get the two of you guys together. We got to get you guys together. Maybe
next year, when we do 50.
Jerry, you always help us out in the Jimmy Fund telethon. Maybe we'll fly him in. Maybe we'll work something out. We got to do it, right?
Bring him in. I know. That'd be cool, because I have met a lot of the guys over the years, and Bill Russell, and I met, obviously, Big Poppy, and I mean, so many of the great Red Sox, the younger Celtics generation with Kevin Garnett and Paul and Ray Allen. I've been around those guys, but the old school guys, not as much. Danny, obviously, I have, but not as much with Larry.
He raved about Boston, and you've been here for a long, long time. Well, Foxborough, but it's Boston. You've lived in Boston. Has it settled into you that you're going down as the most beloved and one of the greatest athletes in Boston sports history? Because we're getting these guys on today, and they're already out of the game. You're still in the game. Has that hit you at any point?
I think it's I've been so blessed to, you know, again, do something I love to do for 20 years in the same place, and to raise my family here. My kids were born on Beacon Street in our apartment. You know, I lived in Franklin. I lived in Quincy. I lived on Boston. I lived on Comm Ave. I lived on Beacon. And now we live in Chestnut Hill. And our kids have been raised here. And it's been an amazing place. And it's just a great area for families. And we have great sports tradition, and every year it seems like our teams are right in the mix, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, soccer, you name it. We're all competitive. We got great following, so much support from everyone in the community. Even, you know, so many players do so many great things in the community, and it's just a great place in our country. And, you know, we love being here.
All right, last question for me is that, you know, we got a couple good tight ends that work in this building. So one game, one tight end, who are you choosing? Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins? I'll even throw in Mike Vrabel.
Oh,
how's that?
Well, Mike's not even a tight end, so okay. Go ahead.
There's Wiggy's here, too.
I like them all. I'd be in Detroit personnel or New York, too tight. I'd get them all on the field.
There you go.
And we got some good formation variations. When you got talented players, you got to put them all on the field at the same time. You got to make the defense defend them, so I couldn't choose just one.
All right, we're all taking bets, the entire staff, on whether Christian can make the 25 hours. The over-under is 23.5. You going over or under?
He's absolutely making the 25, so that's the over. I have no doubt about that.
See that?
He'll do it. No doubt in my mind.
That's my boy right there. There you go. That's all the motivation I need.
He'll do it.
Let's go!
You forgot another word.
Baby. Let's go.
Listen, we really appreciate you helping out. People can go on to WEI.com/25 and can help the cause with the American Diabetes Association. Tom Brady, thank you very much for being part of it. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Happy to have. Good luck, guys. Good luck motoring.
All right, man. Thanks.
See you later.
Have a great night.
You got it. Tom Brady right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Yeah.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.